Hello, everybody. My name is Christian Steffrud, and welcome to 10 Minutes with Tate. I'm here with Tate Christopher, owner of Physicians Financial Insurance Services, a leading insurance and financial advisor for the medical community since 1993. Tate is a financial advisor and has been recently accepted as a member in 2009 of the Million Dollar Roundtable. This elite organization includes the world's most successful life insurance and financial service professionals from over 476 companies in 76 nations and territories. Members are accepted based on their demonstration of exceptional professional knowledge, strict ethical conduct, and outstanding client service. Membership is recognized internationally as the standard of sales excellence in the life insurance and financial service businesses. So, Tate, we're talking about disability insurance today. For all you listeners today, remember to email or instant message us with your questions during the call today. And first question I want to ask you, Tate, is what exactly is disability insurance?
What I want to do is, before I get into that, they want to email us at tate@tatemoney.com if they're listening today with their questions, and we'll try to get at them.
Right. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. It kind of helps.
No problem. disability insurance, that's what we're talking about today, Christian. And disability insurance is an insurance plan that will replace your income or percentage of your income should you become injured or sick and unable to go back to work. Now, it will begin to pay a monthly benefit after a certain period of time of being disabled, often referred to as a waiting or elimination period. And this waiting period or elimination period is the consecutive number of days for which no benefits are payable at the start of the claim. The insured actually must be disabled all of those days before a benefit's payable. So, you know, typical elimination periods are 30, 60, 90, or 180 days. And your plan, when you have a disability insurance plan, will continue to pay you as long as you're disabled, according to your policy's legal definitions, up to but not exceeding that stated maximum benefit period. That's disability insurance for you.
You mentioned benefit periods. Are there different types of plans depending on how long they pay a benefit?
Yeah, generally there are two. A person can purchase like a short-term or a long-term disability plan. Short-term disability insurance plans may pay a benefit up to 6 months or a year, whereas long-term disability insurance plans, they pay a benefit to age 65 to age 67, and in some places possibly the rest of your life.
So how do these disability insurance policies differ from, like, Social Security disability or workers' compensation?
Well, there are major differences, which I'll detail those later. But in general, qualifying for Social Security disability benefits is very difficult because the disability must prevent you from doing any kind of work, not just your usual job. And these monthly benefits are very minimal, and it's difficult for people to survive financially off Social Security benefits. Disability benefits. Workers' compensation only covers job-related sickness or injury, and these benefits are pretty limited as well.
Okay, so then, like, what is the important feature or component, should I say, of a disability insurance policy that one should have?
Well, as a doctor, the most important policy feature to have in your disability contract is the own occupation definition of disability. Simply stated, this means that if you are unable to work in your specialty due to an injury, an accident, or an illness, the policy is going to pay you a benefit, even if you choose to work in another occupation. A good example of this is if you get injured and can no longer practice, say, as an orthopedic surgeon, the policy will pay you a benefit even if you earn an income in another specialty or occupation. This definition differs greatly from many of the less expensive group or association plans. Many of them say you must not be not only disabled from your occupation, but unable to work in any gainful occupation.
Okay, that makes sense. I would, if I was a doctor, I would, or a surgeon, or any medical professional, and I use my hands, it would really make sense to have a policy like this.
Absolutely.
Hey, look at this. We have our first email today. Let's see. What does it say? First question. Do companies still offer disability insurance policies to physicians which protect them in their medical specialties with the own occupation benefit rider?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And we just spoke of this benefit rider, and it's currently available in all states. But only a few insurance companies offer these comprehensive plans to physicians today. Okay. The true own occupation benefit rider is the most important policy feature for a physician to have in his or her policy. And why that is because it is the definition of total disability, which determines whether or not you're going to be paid a benefit.
And that email came from Jane out in Riverside. So thank you, Jane. I appreciate that. Okay, so what else should a physician look for in a comprehensive disability insurance plan?
Well, first, Christian, you want to make sure the plan is non-cancelable and guaranteed renewable. This means the insurance company cannot cancel your policy, cannot increase your premiums, or they cannot change the policy provisions so long as you keep paying your premiums that are due until you reach age 65. Now, second, when you are reviewing a group or hospital or association or even an individual disability plan, you should immediately go to the section, Total Disability, and carefully read the definition as it will describe under what terms you would be eligible for benefits in the event of total disability. Now, a comprehensive plan should state you'll be totally disabled if solely due to injury or sickness you're not able to perform the material or substantial duties of your occupation, even if you're gainfully employed in another occupation. That's how true own occupation policies are defined, and they should be very clear because it's a legal contract between you and an insurance company.
So that being said, just why don't you give me an example of a disability insurance policy that does not offer own occupation?
Well, the thing is, the marketing materials and illustrations for disability insurance policies from many associations, medical associations, group hospital plans, even some individual plans, often give the perception of an own occupation benefit policy by using terms like protecting a physician in their medical specialty or occupation in the event of total disability. However, I have found that a closer analysis of these underlying terms in the specimen policy, okay, will show that it does not offer true own occupation benefit rider with respect to a total disability. In fact, these policies, they'll typically state something along these lines. You're totally disabled if, because of injury or sickness, you're unable to perform the substantial material duties of your regular occupation and you're not at work in another occupation. See, they add that extra sentence.
Mm-hmm. Right, the little caveat.
Yeah, or they may say you're not engaged in any other gainful occupation in which you could reasonably expect it to perform satisfactory in light of your education, training, experience, or physical and mental capacity. I mean, basically, you have
it
a college.
It gets them off the hook, right?
Yeah,
basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have a college degree. I mean, you can do a lot of things,
right.
And this is what they're alluding to. So it's a legal contract, and so you want to know what the terms are specifically that would pay you a benefit.
Right,
or not.
Right. Interesting. So what about group disability insurance offered at work?
Well, many physicians are offered group disability insurance by their employer. And what things physicians should consider are this. Group plans may be changed or canceled on them at any time. So this could leave a physician without coverage when they absolutely need it. Second, most group plans can't be taken with you should you decide to switch employers. Most group plans are taxable. And many group plans have a restrictive definition of disability. And what that means is they would require you to be totally disabled before they pay a benefit. In other words, if you have the ability to do any type of work, benefits may not be payable.
Those are all like kind of tricky little things that people should be watching, I would think, right? Because you might think you're covered and then you're not, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very important. Obtaining an individual disability insurance plan with own occupation benefit is probably one of the smartest things a physician could do.
Yeah, I would think so. So moving on to my next question for you is, what are the current individual disability income benefits offered to medical residents right now?
Yeah, well, you know, a medical resident can obtain one of these own occupation specialty specific coverages. If you're a first or second year resident, they can get up to $3,500 a month tax-free. If they're third year and beyond or they're in fellowship, they can get up to $5,000 a month tax-free. And the benefit periods, like I said before, range, you know, to age 65, 67, or even lifetime. There is some new information out. They have increased the limits as far as how much they can increase their coverage later through this future increase option, because physicians are going to make more money after residency, and they're going to want to increase their disability policy. And there's an option called the future increase option, which now is upwards of $10,500 a month that they can put on their plans. And what this basically nets out to being is a physician could start out between $3,500 and $5,000 a month tax-free benefit now and get themselves up to close to $15,000 a month tax-free a month later as their income has risen, and they can show proof that their salary is higher. And all these plans, Christian, they're affordable because they have design plans on graded or level premium structures. And the plans are all non-cancelable and guaranteed renewable, at least on an individual basis.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, look, we got another email here. I'm going to let you read this one, Tate. It's from John. He's over at UCLA.
He says, as a medical resident, why is right now the best time to buy a disability income plan? Okay, well, you ask yourself this. How would you repay your student loans if you were disabled? Your student loans don't go away if you're injured and cannot go back to work, typically. And this is very, very true once student loan plans are consolidated. Second, rates, the disability insurance premium rates, they're based on your age, your gender, your occupation, and your health status. You're never going to be more healthy than you are today, okay? And you're never going to be any younger. Thirdly, physicians, they have very physically demanding occupations, which that leads to having a higher risk of disability than other professions. A couple other points. If you buy a policy before they declare a medical specialty, you lock in your rates at a better occupational class than you may be able to qualify for in the future. And basically what that does is you're always able to buy at the occupational class that you purchased when you bought the policy initially. So medical students get a better rate than...
Kind of locks it in for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So maybe an internist that goes on to do cardiology or gastroenterology, or an intern that's going to go on and do surgery, if they buy it, you know, early on, their rate's going to be less expensive than if they waited and bought it as a surgeon or as a cardiologist, because the insurance companies look at those as higher risks, so they charge them more. Okay. The great thing is they buy it as an intern, okay, or a resident in internal medicine, let's say, but they go into another medical specialty, cardiology, plastic surgery, or orthopedic surgery, what have you. The policy protects them in the specialty or occupation, I should say, that they're doing at the time they become disabled. And that's very important.
Yeah. Are there any discounts that might be available on individual disability insurance policies for residents or fellows?
Yeah, you know, some of the insurance carriers we work with will offer a discount for residents who purchase an individual disability plan during their training. You just have to give us a call, email us, and let us know what hospital you're working at, and we'll find out if there's a discount available to you. The discount remains effect even when you leave medical training, which is fantastic. Because many people are not going to stay at the same institution. You're not going to be a resident forever. So it's a win-win situation for a resident to buy disability insurance early on in their career.
Yeah, that sounds like it makes sense or something them to do. Okay, so just a refresher, everybody. We're here today on our audio podcast, 10 Minutes with Tate, and he's an innovative leader in his field. Tate Christopher has created several physician websites. We just want to remind you of those to educate physicians on the details of life insurance, disability insurance, and health insurance plans. He has a life and disability insurance blog, as well as maintaining a physician social networking group on Facebook, so check him out there. The easiest way to access Tate is at his main webpage, tatemoney.com, TATEMONEY.com. So getting back to group disability plans offered by your hospital, what are the typical benefits and restrictions that those might offer?
Well, Christian, not all hospitals or groups offer their employees long-term disability insurance. And for those that do, many of the group plans have a very restrictive definition of disability, meaning they require you to be totally disabled before they will pay a benefit, and if you have the ability to do any other type of work, the benefits may not be payable, and that's not good. The group plans, as I talked about earlier, they can be changed, they can be canceled on the physician at any time, which leaves them out without coverage when they may need it. Thirdly, the group plans can't be taken with you when you finish residency most of the time. And you need to think about this. To obtain a personal individual policy, you have to go on a medical exam. Your age and health will determine your rate. But there is no medical exam when you get group coverage at work if it's offered to you for free.
Hmm.
So you have to read between the lines here and think about it. Why would an insurance company, you know, offer you a very comprehensive disability plan through your work when they don't even know what your health status is?
Right.
They would go out of business. And finally, most resident group plans typically offer small nominal benefit, $1,500 to $3,500 a month. And by the nature of group plans alone, because they pay for the benefit, those benefits end up being taxable. So you're very limited if you get a group plan at all.
Maybe there's some other important policy riders or benefits one should have in an individual disability insurance policy you can tell us about?
Yeah, we've hit on a couple of these earlier. Let's look at four that are really important outside of the own occupation benefit that we've gone into great detail. First, non-cancelable. Non-cancelable means the policy can't be canceled on you or altered by the insurance company as long as the insured continues to pay the premiums on time. And I should note that if you buy an individual disability policy that is non-cancelable, it's the insurance company that can't cancel it. You can cancel your disability policy whenever you want. It's completely up to you, okay, because some people get confused on that issue. The second thing is the future increase option, which allows them, the insured, the ability to increase their policy monthly benefit, usually on their policy anniversary, when they're making more money, because they're going to make more money after residency. You want to be able to buy more coverage later on, and you're able to do so with this future increase option without another medical exam.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is say, hey, here's a job contract. This is how much I'm making. Here's a pay stub, my tax returns. I'm making more money. I want to increase my benefit up to that salary. And you can do so within the same plan, the same disability insurance policy you bought back in residency, with that future increase option.
Nice.
Why that's important, Christian, is because insurance companies change their disability plans over time. So that has no bearing on you if you have your plan and you have this future increase option. So they could have changed the plan for new people that are buying it today.
But yours is still in place.
Yours is still in place, and yeah. You use your future increase option you buy way back when to the policy you bought during your training. A couple other ones, residual disability, often referred to as partial disability in some states. That basically, if you have a disability that causes the insured's income to fall more than 20%, companies will start paying a benefit for just a loss of income due to time off of work due to injury or sickness. And finally, some residents will do this cost of living rider, which is an optional benefit that provides increases in the disability benefit during a period of disability. And the amount of increase is typically based on a preset percentage of inflation. So your monthly benefit will go up if you're on claim. 1 year later, you're still on claim,
mm-hmm.
and you have this cost of living benefit rider.
Right.
It will go up by that set amount each and every year that you continue to be on claim. It's a good feature to have early on in your career when you have several years of training left.
Yeah, those are all good good benefits to keep in mind when shopping, it sounds like. So, okay, if I need, I need some buying advice, right? So what would you give somebody like me looking to purchase an individual disability insurance policy?
Well, Christian, and this is for everybody, not just physicians, okay? And this is very, very, very important. Be more concerned with the quality of the policy than the price, okay? The cost of the policy should not be the first consideration when it comes to disability insurance. You can roughly expect to pay 1% to 4% of your income on a comprehensive individual disability income policy, and you must have the own occupation benefit, okay? Second, I would look at insurance companies' financial ratings. you know, your disability insurance company could potentially be paying your salary to age 65 or the rest of your life. It's important that they're financially sound. And all disability insurance companies are rated by third-party rating companies. AM Best comes to mind.
I got a question for you. I have a friend who just would not get disability insurance, and she was up in her 50s and healthy, and then next thing you know, wham, she gets slammed with cancer. Had she gotten a policy like what you're talking about right now, could she have collected disability insurance?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, now she's uninsurable through most traditional carriers.
She's sick.
Pre-existing condition.
Yeah, pre-existing.
They would classify that, and that's part of the underwriting, which we'll get into a little bit, which determines whether they're even going to insure you or not. So the younger you are, the less medical conditions you have. Thus, it's going to be a lot easier to get coverage. Okay.
That's too bad.
So, yeah. But you know, some other things when you're buying a policy, always understand that definition of disability. Okay, that own occupation benefit. Okay, because this means the difference of getting paid or not. I mean, ultimately, that's what you want in the policy. Many of them look the same, but you go to that total disability section, you read it, that's the defining moment. That's the defining clause that determines you get paid or you don't get paid. So get a policy that has the own occupation. A couple other items. I would look at the 90-day waiting or elimination period, typically the most cost-effective. I would make sure, obviously, your policy is non-cancelable and guaranteed renewable, so that the insurance company can't raise your rates or cancel your policies. Group and association plans typically do not offer this very important benefit, okay, which is another reason to get an individual plan. And I would look at it this way. Think about this. Just because an association that you belong to sponsors an insurance plan doesn't mean it's good. In most cases, the association plans are group plans. So bottom line, get an individual plan that's comprehensive.
So I'm assuming my friend didn't get disability insurance because of cost. So how much does disability insurance cost? It must be pricey, huh?
Not really. No.
No.
In fact, it's probably the most affordable insurance to get when you consider what it's protecting. I mean, you're protecting several millions of dollars of future income and, probably for a nice dinner at a very nice restaurant in a major metropolitan city a month. That's if you get it early enough in your life.
Because
the cost of the policy depends on your age, your occupation, your health status, your smoking status, and your gender. So you get a disability policy in your late 20s, early 30s, that's, today, 2009, that's what it's going to run you.
Well, look, we've been talking about disability insurance long enough. Here's another email question we have today. It is from Peggy, a young lady that is asking, what if I am pregnant?
Yeah, I hear this one all the time. Yeah. Well, you want to check the policy to see if complications of pregnancy are covered, because typically pregnancy can be covered under a long-term disability insurance plan. I will note that if there has been a previous complication, like a C-section previously that a woman had, and then she wants to apply for disability insurance now, they will probably put an exclusion on her policy for pregnancy. However, single female, hasn't had kids yet, hasn't had any complications, obviously, from pregnancy. If you buy a long-term disability policy, more often than not, pregnancy is going to be included. But then again, it doesn't kick in until after typically 90 days of being out of work. And so in that situation, a regular delivery, which is 6 to 8 weeks, they wouldn't be able to collect a benefit. However, if they had a complication, okay, and they didn't have an exclusion under policy for pregnancy, and they were out of work over 90 days, they're going to get at least some monthly benefit for maybe a month or two.
Sure. Sounds like something that's good to have. Look, man, when it rains, it pours. Here's another one. I'll let you read this one. It's John, a physician out in Los Angeles.
Okay, so here we go. Can I tax deduct my disability insurance premiums? Well, according to the current IRS guidelines, if you deduct your disability insurance premiums, your benefit, if you become disabled, would be taxable. Okay? If you pay your disability insurance premiums with after-tax dollars, which means you don't tax deduct it on your tax return, your disability insurance benefits tax-free. And that's what we advise our clients. It's like, look, just pay for it out of your personal bank account, and if you get hurt, benefit is tax-free.
Well, I got a question. What if I leave the country?
Yeah, very common. Everybody's traveling these days. Well, depending on the policy, some policies do cover you when you travel to foreign countries. Other policies will suspend the contract while you're abroad, and
really?
You just need to read that section in your policy. But most of the time, if you don't go to a war zone and just you're going to go to a country that is not involved in that, how many are those left, right? But they will cover you in that capacity if you're traveling, going on vacation with your family or whatever. Now, if you go on active military duty, though, that's a different situation because most companies will put your policy in suspense until you're off active duty.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, they're not going to pay you if you're on active military duty. So you suspend your policy, you stop paying the premiums, and then when you come back off of active duty and now you're not active anymore, you just pick up your policy again and start paying the premiums as if, you just gotten it from day one.
Yeah, that's important to look at all that. Wow, it's just cranking today on the emails. Hot topic. Next one question we have is from a physician out of Texas, Houston. See, can I purchase coverage if I have a medical condition?
Well, we talked about this a few minutes ago. The type and severity of the medical problems will be evaluated by the underwriters at the insurance company. And so generally one of three things will happen if you have a medical condition. The insurance company can charge a higher premium for the policy. They could exclude the condition from the policy. Let's say you had knee surgery. They may just put an exclusion on your knee. Or they could decline insurance altogether if it's a very severe medical condition.
Okay. Just give me one second. We just had a little technical difficulty. Okay, so the next question I got for you is, can my employer pay or reimburse my premiums to me?
Well, your employer can pay for your disability insurance coverage. However, it may cause your benefit to be taxable to you at the time of claim. So you got to be careful, and I would contact your CPA if you have any details on how that is handled through your employer.
Now, from everything you're telling me, and not to be not to ask a redundant question, but so just so everybody understands it, because I think it's an important point to hammer home. When's the best time to buy a disability policy?
Yeah, right now.
That's right now.
Yeah,
even doesn't matter how old you are, right?
Yeah, because the best time to buy disability policy is when you're young and healthy, and the premiums are largely based on your health and your age. So, get in a small policy now with a very low premium. And buy the future purchase option that allows you to increase it later in that same policy when you're making more money. End of story.
And then the application process, how complicated is that? What do you got to do there?
Well, once you've made a decision on which policy you want to apply for, we either meet we talk on the phone, and they schedule a medical exam after I get the application submitted for you. And the exam can completed at your home or office. It's no cost to you. Typically, it's just a blood and urine sample. And then once the insurance company's received all the completed forms, it's sent to the insurance company, and they go through underwriting.
And then
with the medical
what's
lab.
Underwriting?
Well, the underwriting is a process where the insurance company examines and accepts or rejects the insurance based on, your medical history. So they'll
that usually takes so by the time I get coverage from start to finish, then?
It would take you maybe anywhere from underwriting process takes 30 to 90 days. And just going in that underwriting process just a little bit more in detail. You take an application. They come out and draw blood and urine. They may do a phone interview. You allow them also. You sign off and give them permission to access your medical records. So they gather all this information. They look at it and they say, okay, I'm assessing your risk, and I'm going to give you coverage and approve you as applied, or I'm going to put a restriction on the policy because you have pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rate you higher because maybe of your height, weight, build, or medications you're on, or they may just flat out deny you. And in this process, like I said, takes 30 to 90 days.
Okay. That makes sense to me. So we got another email that just cranked in here. What happens, is a doctor moving to another state? He asked, what happens to my policy if I change jobs, move to another state, or change occupations? Good question.
Yeah, great question. And The great thing about these individual plans is if your policy is non-cancelable and guaranteed renewable, the policy benefits are not going to change. And if the individual disability policy you buy, it's portable. So you take them with you if you move to another state. Now, this is on individual plans that you've purchased. So you could buy it in residency in California, move to Texas, New York, Florida, wherever, and you're going to take your policy with you. And when you make more money, you're going to say, hey, Tate, I want to increase my coverage, and you do so with the future purchase option with the policy guide and medical training.
Yeah, that's good information. And that was, by the way, that was from another Christian, by the way, out in Phoenix. It must be from your Facebook group. There you go, a lot of people.
How about
there.
That?
Check out Tate on his Facebook group over there, everybody. I got a question for you. So can I go see my own physician if I become disabled? Or do I have to go to some place that they tell me I have to go?
Yeah, fantastic question. Now, you can get and go see your own physician, because if you get hurt, sick, you're going to go to your own doctor, and then if it's pretty serious, they're going to say, hey, you can't go back to work. So obviously that's going to be the case. Although if you do file a claim, most companies will allow you to see your own doctor if you're disabled. The insurance company does reserve the right to have their own physicians evaluate you.
Sure.
You know, that's the case. I don't get involved in the claim process. That once you file a claim, you know, it's between you and the insurance company. So you certainly would call me if you get hurt, you know, or sick, and, you know, give you, you know, the number and so you can file a claim form and so forth. But at that point in time,
that's between you and the insurance
company. You and the insurance company.
Yeah. What are some common exclusions as far as, you know,
in the policies?
Yeah,
I mean, typically we talked about a few of these. You know, there may be a foreign travel, going on active military duty.
The ones we covered
earlier. War, committing a felony. Don't go out there, commit a felony. mental nervous disorders. These days, they kind of restrict it to maybe a maximum benefit of 24 months if you file a claim for a mental
nervous disorder. Does that include, like, depression and stuff like
that? Yes, it does. Drug claims, depression, anxiety, things along those lines.
Right. Well, again, in review for our listeners today, what are the major differences between individual disability income insurance policies and group policies? And then we'll be wrapping it up after you clean up a nice summary for us.
Sounds great, Christian. What I want our listeners to remember is this. In general, with individual disability insurance, the benefits are tax-free if you pay the premiums, okay, with an after-tax dollar. The monthly benefits are higher in an individual plan. Premium rate guarantees to age 65. The policy is owned by you, and you can take it with you, as we discussed, to a new job or state. And the definitions are much more specific when we talk about own occupation benefit riders that protect you in your specialty. In general, group plans, you know, the benefits are taxable because your employer pays the premiums. The definitions of disability are more restrictive. I mean, if you're able to do something else, in many instances, based on your education or training, you're not going to qualify for a benefit, okay? The policies can be changed on you with group plans. They can be canceled on you at any time. There are no premium rate guarantees, typically. And, you know, people with poor health, they can get group plans because there's no medical exam required. So just finalizing it all, my best advice to our listeners, physicians, young doctors, purchase your own individual disability insurance plan as soon as you can in your career.
Yeah, it puts you more in the driver's seat, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hey, Tate Christopher, thank you so much for joining me today. I learned a lot. I think a lot of people are going to get out of this call. And for those of you, as we sign off, Tate Christopher, again, has been a financial advisor and insurance broker for over 15 years, has worked with thousands of physicians and strategically positioned their personal and business finances. So Tate can be reached at Tate, T-A-T-E, at TateMoney.com, or you can call him at 1-800-318-6050, then 1-800-318-6050, or, of course, at his great website, TateMoney.com. On behalf of myself, Christian Steffrud, Tate Christopher, thank you for joining us here at 10 Minutes with Tate. Have a wonderful day, and we will catch you on the next one.